This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. Just after the turn of the 20th century, a ceremonial arch lit up downtown Dallas at the corner of Main and Ackard Streets. It was built by the Elks Club with a gaudy sign proclaiming welcome visitors, and it became an iconic symbol of an ambitious city. Then, 105 years ago, it became another kind of symbol when a mob hung the body of a black man named Alan Brooks from the arch. A new website explores this lynching. It's called Dallas Untold, and Chris Dowdy is the man behind it. He's also an administrator at Paul Quinn College. Chris Dowdy, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thanks. I'm really pleased to be here.
Let's start with the man at the center of this story, Alan Brooks. Who was he?
We don't know a ton about him. We know basically his age, and we know his occupation. He was a domestic laborer. He apparently fixed the furnace and other sort of small jobs and houses in that area of Dallas, and was a particular employee of the Bouvins family.
And he was never actually convicted of a crime. What was he accused of?
There are sort of conflicting accounts of exactly what happened, and the actual record in the papers tells us that the three-year-old daughter of the Bouvins family went missing for a few hours and was discovered with Brooks with what seemed to be injuries or blood, and he was accused of interfering with the child, essentially, an attempted rape. But, you know, the actual evidence is pretty murky, no real witnesses to what happened. In the actual process of the arraignment, it was interrupted by the mob. So in the actual court records, you can read basically a progression of his assigned counsel asking for time to go find witnesses and evidence. And then a couple lines later, the court minutes say a mob broke in, cause dismissed.
And this mob was thousands of people.
That's right. So the estimates vary on this as well. The numbers I've seen are anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000. It was not a few people clandestine in the dark. This was a festival.
So after the mob broke in, what happened then?
He's hiding, apparently cowering in the jury room behind a couple of locked doors, and the crowd is busted through, and they drag him to the second story window, put a rope around his neck, and they basically jerk him through the window into the ground. And the crowd thinks that he's dead, but they still say, let's take him to the arch. This general sort of cry goes up. So they drag him half a mile up Main Street.
Now that arch, what happened to it?
The arch itself is dismantled by the end of 1911, by the summer, actually. They take it down and they rebuild it at Fair Park, the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And they use it for a couple of years at the State Fair to sort of work as a pavilion. So it's not really what you typically do with a symbol of intense shame, just move it to the fairgrounds. And then it just passes out of the record.
He was hung from the arch, and you have on your website this amazing series of postcards of that image.
This postcard is in the collection Without Sanctuary that James Allen published in 2001, and it's a collection of over 100 of these souvenir lynching photographs.
So people used to collect photographs of lynchings?
Precisely. So the postcards were a form of mass communication at the turn of the century, and lynching souvenir photographs were a part of that. The way these were created would be a photo taken and then developed the same day on special sort of photographic paper that would itself be a postcard. So these are called real souvenir, real photograph postcards. And what they testify to is the way in which that memory is reproduced and traded as a souvenir of mass entertainment.
In all the research you did, what surprised you?
You know, I think I was alarmed at how little was said about it in the actual historical record. There's, you know, sort of outrage in the black press about it. There's discussion in the Dallas Morning News and elsewhere about how it would be much better if we had rapid execution so we wouldn't have to resort to this sort of thing. There's debate about whether the arch is gaudy or not, and none of it is connected to a sense of pain or shame about a legacy of racism or oppression or anything like that. You know, I read through all the city council minutes from February of that year all the way through to when the arch was dismantled. And they never talk about the lynching. They never talk about it. And the idea that it would have been essentially part of the backdrop or the fabric of the way people assumed the world worked, I think that's the most startling thing, is the places where there are silence in the record and what that says about people's assumptions.
Chris Dowdy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.